Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of What's It Like, where I interview folks about their life experiences from all different kinds of things. And my typical disclaimer, this is one person's experience, one person's story. You or someone else might have a very different experience, and that is totally fine. We are just learning what it could be like to go through something like this. And today, our guest is Ryan. Welcome to the show.
All right, thank you. That was a good intro. I hope I have a pretty interesting What's It Like. I hope other people don't have what the experience I have. That'd be pretty boring.
Yeah, no, for sure. So in a sentence or two, go ahead and tell us what's the experience you're going to share with us today.
Just talking about doing my own, starting out as a comedic podcaster, I guess, trying to do something funny, trying to do it low budget, of course, and just trying to start at grassroots, really.
Yeah, awesome. So I think this is something that I think a lot of people are going to be interested in, because a lot of people, I think, have dreams of turning their own love of comedy into something creative. So tell me a little bit about how you started, maybe with this project in particular, but if it makes sense to go back further and tell me how you got interested in comedy in the first place, go for that.
Early on, it was just watching and listening to a lot of podcasts, watching a lot of comedic specials, comedy specials, whatever you call them, just kind of being interested in the art of comedy. I don't want to get like, it's not really too nerdy. It's just kind of like laughing. You know, I just like to laugh. I like making people laugh, really. I'm a pretty silly person as it is. And getting started in comedy, I saw people doing it and I figured how hard could it be? And I underestimated it by a lot. How hard this really is and how much time it does take to put together a quality show and put together use what the products are and what to get. And it was kind of fun when I started it. It's what it's always been, just a good time. I just like to do, it's been a hobby. I just like to do it. And getting started was, I saw a lot of people I admire doing it. And I thought, well, why can't I do it? Because the technology is there. And that's really it.
Yeah. So I'm curious why, looking at comedy, podcasting is a fairly new-ish avenue for that to happen. So why was podcasting the medium that you felt you wanted to bring your comedy into?
So where I live near Cleveland, Ohio, but I don't live in Cleveland, Ohio. There's not really comedy clubs around where I'm from. And So I couldn't really go to like a club and like get on stage and, do all that stuff and have like a set. So I thought, well, what's the next best thing? And the next best thing to me was, look at all these comedians who have podcasts like Bill Burr, Theo Von, you can name them. And I just said, well, I'm just going to do what they do and do a podcast. And it was like that. I just thought, hey, I want to be a comedian. And then obviously with the recent events of everything being closed for a long time, I haven't been able to even get on stage, even at the small places that do offer live comedy. So doing the podcast has been fun, and growing a little bit of a following and having people listen is kind of exhilarating.
Yeah. So would you say that a lot of your comedy influences are people who are also podcasting, or are there others that that make their way into your work?
Yeah, I would say it's probably people who podcast. Influences in comedy obviously are the big, you can just pick them. It's like Dave Chappelle, Bill Burr. Those guys, Dave doesn't have his own podcast, but Bill does. And just, it is people who do podcasts. I feel like every comedian now has a podcast. It is a very saturated market when it comes to comedians and comedy. And to try to get in that world and try to get people to listen to you is pretty difficult when you really have no following. But it is fun. I will say that, a lot of the people do what I do, and a lot of people seem to like it. So that's why I started.
Yeah. So when you first wanted to do this, you're like, I'm going to get this going. Did you have an idea for like the format you were looking at, or what kind of, comedy ranges so many different
right.
genres, even in podcasting. So
right.
Did you have an idea, and how did that kind of evolve?
The idea was based on just me babbling for a half an hour. I was like, all right, if I can get a half an hour, I can do this. And there was a lot of testing, like a lot of failed episodes. I deleted a lot of episodes. And then I eventually came to the point where I was just kind of like, hey, I gotta put something out, because it's easier just to do it. I'm like, I'm never going to get better unless people tell me what to get better at, or if I find out what works and what doesn't. So I just decided to build it on, hey, this is me basically doing a 30-minute set based on things that happen to me, things going on in the news, the happenings of the topics and stuff like that. Things I like to talk about, things I was comfortable talking about, things, some things I wasn't comfortable talking about. And it is surprising enough when you don't have a following and people don't know who you are, you get a lot of declines for guests on your podcast. So I couldn't do the guest format every week. So I figured I could just fly it by myself, and that's what I've done.
Interesting. So have you, as your following has gotten a little bit bigger, have you been bringing guests on, or have you found that the solo format is still really working for you?
The solo format works pretty good for me. I've had some guests, I've had a friend of mine just come on just to fill time, really. And then I had somebody who wrote a book about, you know, being a vegan power lifter on. People reach out now that it is growing a little bit. And I mean, a little bit, they do reach out now. They're like, hey, I have this coming out. Would you like to talk to me about it? Or like, hey, I have this cause I want to talk about. And sometimes I have to say, the funniest thing is I wanted guests so badly at the beginning. And then now it feels like I'm saying a no a lot. I find myself saying no, because I just don't know. Like, you know, a lot of people, they think they have a big topic, or they think they want to talk about something. And it's really not as interesting as you'd imagine.
Yeah, no, I believe it. Yeah. So what have you found to be, you know, since comedy is so, sometimes can be so specific to one person, what have you found to be really good practices for you in continuing to make the guests feel comfortable, to be, to develop a sense of humor between the two of you throughout the course of the podcast? What are some things that have been really helpful for you in bringing the guests into your comedy space, essentially?
Trying just to be, it is a good question, because I find myself to be like, oh, I'm doing this one, it's basically a one man show. And so when people listen, they're like, oh, I don't know if this will, like, the vegan power lifter was my most recent guest. I can bring that up. His name was Brady, and he came on, and he, you know, he was like, I don't know if this will mesh really well. And I'm like, well, listen, I don't do this. Like, what I'm doing on the show is kind of an act. You know what I mean? I'm out there just being funny. I'm trying to be funny, at least. And, I found it pretty simple to interview people, because I could just be like everyone's normal voice, right? Like, no one, I found when I'm interviewing somebody, oh, I'm going to ask these questions that might seem like stupid questions, but they're very basic questions. And that's what people really care. I'm not going to get in the nitty gritty of like, oh, what does this mean? Or what are these, you know, in-depth stuff. I'll ask basic questions. And I found that making other people comfortable is admitting you don't know about topics, and admitting that maybe there are things I just will never know. And when they're just telling you, and so just making them comfortable is something I've learned. Being a good interviewer is something I think will take a long time, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. I, you know, even having done this for, I guess this will be my 19th episode, so I'm pretty new to format, and it's been just been learning a lot over that course as well. I'm curious, you talked about wanting, you know, putting this out there and getting feedback. So when you're doing live stand-up, you obviously have that instant feedback of audience laughs, audience doesn't. So how did you go about getting feedback for a podcast format where it's a little less automatic?
Yeah, that is tough. I will say, I tell a joke and I just end up laughing at myself, or I'm like, oh, I hope that hit, because that seemed like a little bit of a heavier topic, because if it doesn't, that would be probably uncomfortable. I did say that earlier in the, like right when I started, I was like, I don't know if anyone's even laughing. So some of my friends, you know, I think good friends are a good resource, because they will tell you if something is bad. And I do appreciate that. So they told me like, hey, this doesn't even make sense. We don't even know what you're talking about. And I'm like, fair enough. I don't even know what I'm talking about. And so just getting that feedback and then kind of learning. And I do test it out. I mean, thank goodness for my friends and my girlfriend especially, because I do bounce a lot of these ideas off them and see if they laugh or what reaction they have to certain things I'll talk about that week. And if it's, you know, dull and they don't say anything or they move on really quick, I'm like, I probably shouldn't talk about that. But if they think it's funny or they're interested, I'll bring that up. So it is a lot of trial and error. It is a very lonely thing when you're talking into your computer for an hour.
Yeah, there's definitely an art form to that. I'm curious, how do you feel like your strength, either solely from a comedy standpoint or solely from a podcasting standpoint or together, how do you feel like what have you learned and how have you grown and how have you changed in the way that you approach that? I'm going to sit down and talk into a mic for however long.
Yeah. It started as, like I said, it started as a half an hour and I would just do it. And I always had, like, I didn't have it really planned out. Like, I was like, all right, I have a couple topics. I'll hit these and I'll see. And then my transitions were terrible. So then I was like, I'm going to get better at this. And then I found that I was thinking too much. I was really like in my head about it. I'm like, I really want to talk about this. Really want to talk about this. And I was like, if it doesn't fit, I'm not going to talk about it. I just let my, cause I, my brain moves really quick on a lot of things, nothing important, but a lot of things. It just moves. And I'm like, I want to talk about this. And if I talk about it, and then I found a lot of the time I was talking about something that I thought was really interesting to me. And I talked about it for 5 minutes and I'm like, I have 25 minutes to fill. And I found that getting, I think just becoming more relaxed with doing it. I don't think there's any, just with anything in life, really, there was no excuse or no substitute for the doing it. So when I said I was doing all these, you know, shows where I was deleting them and not putting them out, it was kind of like, well, why don't I just put one out and then get better at it from there? So, and a lot of people I talked to said it takes a long time and I hope they're right because it is still a pretty, it is a pretty lonely thing. And like you said, it does take time. And I think the art is kind of reacting to yourself, like pretending that there's people here. That's what I started to do. It is kind of silly, but I'll like point when I'm talking about something, I'll make, you know, hand gestures and I'll hit things and I'll just act it out. So I think that was a, it is a growing thing. At first it was me just sitting here talking all monotone like this and then not really, you know, doing anything. So I found that having just talking, like I'm talking to somebody, but nobody's here, of course.
Interesting. That was actually leading into one of my other questions. I was curious how scripted those were, whether it was one of those things where you sat down and you worked out jokes for or bits,
yeah,
and then went into it. But it sounds like it was a little bit more off the cuff. I'm curious as to whether you've tried around with, I know you talked about, you know, going forward and scripting more and then pulling back. Do you feel like one or the other of those formats is particularly suited for podcasting as opposed to like stand-up?
I think the off the cuff, just kind of rolling with it is, yeah, live stand-up is probably more. So during all this time, I have had a lot of time where, you know, to sit around like most people. And I have written out, like, I have bits that I would try on stage that I wouldn't do on my podcast, of course, because I find that podcasting is more free form, free flow, especially when you're by yourself, because you can't just be like, all right, next, like how you're asking questions, I can't just ask myself questions because that would just get kind of uncomfortable. But I think it's free form. It's different than being on stage. Of course, you can improvise doing, you know, live stand-up or live shows. But I find that the podcast, I don't have like, I have to say this. I just have small topics where I'm like, oh, I want to talk about this. Cause it was nerve wracking the first few times where I would just forget to talk about things. So I was like, maybe I should write these down. Maybe I'm being a little hard headed about this.
Now it's really interesting. So you talked about comedy podcasting being a pretty saturated market.
Right.
So what have you done or what are you continuing to try to do to really set yourself apart from the pack? How do you draw people to you rather than to any of the other ones that are still happening?
That is tough, especially when you really have no base to go out. Like, I don't have a ton of followers on, like, you know, all these social media apps that you can name. I don't have a lot of those. What I found is YouTube videos have been pretty good. You know, you put up a couple clips on YouTube and then people go to find the full show. Facebook is the same way. Twitter, kind of the same thing. You just kind of post these clips or post the links and hope people click on them, right? And so I do promote it on Facebook, you know, by paying for ads and stuff, but it is tough. I think there are, like, I thought the 30 minutes would work better. Like, I was like, oh, if I can just get somebody for 30 minutes, you know, but then I found, oh, people like longer shows. So I was like, oh, maybe I could do, cause I would get emails like, hey, you know, we'll talk about this more, talk about this. And then it eventually just evolved naturally. It never was like a conscious choice I made where, like, all right, now it's an hour, or now it's 45 minutes. It was like, well, if I have an hour of material, I'll talk about an hour of stuff. So I found that, you know, feedback is great. And then people just kind of finding it is I always equate it to, like, I'm like some indie band. Like, I'm not one of these mainstream bands. I'm like your indie band that is from your city that you think is the best, but nobody has ever heard about. And then when they blow up, you don't like them anymore. So I kind of equated myself to that. Like, let me be your indie band and if you listen to me long enough, maybe you'll end up resenting that people like me.
I like that. I realized that I didn't ask this. How long ago did you start this?
It's almost been a year to the day. I started late July last year. I don't remember if it was the 27th or the 29th, but it was. I just decided I'm going to do it. And then I'm not tech savvy at all. You're probably a lot better at, you know, posting it and all that stuff. I didn't even know, to be honest with you, I didn't even know what an RSS feed was. So when I went to go put the podcast on Apple, I was like emailing them like the dumbest questions, like, where do I find my RSS feed? And they're like, it's in your, you know, host thing. I'm like, I don't even know what that means. And I'm sitting here just looking and I'm emailing the ladies. She probably thought I was the dumbest guy ever. And that's probably why it took so long to go up. But that first one came out about a year ago. And I hope it's not, you know, that'll be funny. I had some people in my life tell me if it ever does, you know, because I just like doing it for fun. It is a hobby. Of course, I'd want to make, you know, it bigger and people listen. But I think it'll be funny if this ever does get really big and then people go listen to that first episode and say, oh, wow, it was really primitive then. And it really is. It is kind of a funny thing. It's funnier. The material isn't that funny. It's funny just to listen to me babble through and struggle through it a half an hour.
Uh-huh. I'm curious. Do you have any special episode plans for your 1 year anniversary?
Not really, because I think what I found, with the 1 year, you know, thing, and I did the 50th episode recently, was it's not like a, it's not as, I guess it's not as big a deal as I thought it would be. Like I got here, I'm like, oh, it's been a year, but it is funny to look back, and I probably will look back at that first episode, and just laugh and listen to it for myself, and might even play a couple of clips in the 1 year anniversary. But yeah, I just, it is funny to look back on and say like, oh, look, I did this for a year and, you know, people listen. And then they find out when somebody finds out for the first time and they're like, oh, you've done how many episodes? And I'm like, yeah, it is kind of funny that I've done almost 54. This week will be my 54th episode. So it is funny to look back. Like I never thought it would keep going as long as it did. I thought I would give up at some point, 'cause I usually do that. I've did that with a YouTube channel when I was younger. When I was like 15, I just gave up after like 10 videos. So I didn't expect this to go so long, but I've just really enjoyed doing it. So I don't have any special plans, by the way, for your question. It just has been,
yeah,
it's just been a good time, really. I just go week to week.
That actually feeds into one of the other questions I had sitting out, which I was curious as to whether this was like, for some people, you know, as they're starting to get, when they first dip their toe into like comedy, they have like their starter project with the goal of moving on to something different later. And so I was curious as to whether this was, whether you saw this as hopefully this will prepare me for later stuff, or whether you're like, no, I'm just happy doing this for as long as I want to do this. So I was just curious as to, and it sounds like it's more the latter for you.
Yeah, people have asked me that. They're like, when are you, like, especially people like in my personal like life, they've asked me like, oh, like, what are you, when would you finish, or when would you stop doing it? And I said, well, when it's not fun anymore, because then it wouldn't be fun to listen to, right? Like it's fun to listen to. I think the draw is, hey, he seems like he's, you know, funny enough, and then he's, you know, doing jokes and all this stuff, but it also seems like he has a good time doing it. And so if I have a good time doing it, some people will get a good laugh out of it. I think once it becomes like, oh, I have to go do this. Like if it ever became like a job and I felt like, oh, I have to put this out like today and I'm dragging through it, I won't want to do it anymore. So I just won't. I won't do that. I feel like a lot of people do that where they hang on to something for so long and they don't enjoy doing it. So I won't be one of those people, hopefully. I mean, hopefully I say that now, but who knows?
Yeah, no, absolutely. My other podcast that I started was something that I was like, I wanted to do podcasting, but I said, I want to choose something that I will have fun doing, even if nobody ever listens to this.
Yeah, I said that. That's funny. That's,
yeah.
Yeah, that's funny you say that, because I remember somebody saying, how many listeners do you get? And I didn't even check the first couple of weeks because I was like, I don't know. I post something. That's kind of like my like go-to, is I'll post something and I'll check back later and see what happens. Like I can't, because I'll drive myself crazy, like refreshing and checking and checking. And I said, even if one person listened, I hope if they laughed, I got to do it next week because they thought it was funny. You know what I mean? So I was like, well, I got to keep going, and I want to do it for people. I want to do it for me. And as long as I have fun, I don't think I'll really ever stop doing it. And it is something you have to love, though, because if you don't enjoy doing it, that'd be like my one thing of advice. It'd be, if you don't enjoy doing this, it is a lot of, it's a lot more work than I thought it was.
Yeah. I'm curious. You talked about how some of the folks listening were friends and family. Have you had a lot of folks who just kind of stumbled onto this? And if so, how much interaction have you had with fans you don't know?
Yeah, I think so. I use them as like a personal buffer, because I reach out, or they just see me in my everyday life. I will say probably a good amount. I've got a pretty good amount of plays elsewhere. It seems like some episodes do better than others based on topics and things like that. A lot of the people listening, I don't know now. It used to just be people I knew, which was awkward, because then they would bring it up to you when you're just, you know, doing something else. Like, you'll just be, you know, whatever it is at work or whatever job you do and whatever job I'm doing. And they'll just be like, hey, so I heard you talking about this week. And I'm like, oh, this is so weird, because they're talking to me about something I did, and I don't even remember what I talk about most of the time. And so they're bringing it up and they're questioning me. I'm like, yeah, I don't know, man. And they would just bring it up. And so that's been fun. They don't do that to me anymore, because I've said it enough that I don't like it. But yeah, it's been a pretty good amount of just normal people stumbling upon it, like you said, or finding it through certain ads and things. It's been growing pretty good, I thought. I mean, for who I am, I think it's growing pretty good. Some people might not think so.
Oh, no, it's all relative. It's what,
sure,
you know, if it's getting beyond where you thought, that's significant.
I know. I never thought anyone would listen.
I'm always curious about this, asking people who have set on a journey specifically because they wanted to learn something or try something new. What was one of your biggest mistakes along the way, and what did you learn from that? Something where you'd finished that you found out later, you're like, I can't even believe that that's what I did.
Oh yeah, that's a good question. I don't know if I think a mistake was thinking that it would be, it's not even like a tangible mistake, it's more like just a thought mistake. I think the mistake was I thought this would be easy to me. Like, it would come easy. Like, I'm like, oh, I talk all the time. I could just plug in a microphone and I can hit record and do this like anybody else. But it is an art. Like, it is like, oh, hey, I have to do this like this. And it seems so, I have to do it this way and do it this way to get it all fine tuned. And it's never perfect. And I think I really enjoy that about this, is that I'm never right, I guess, is the answer. Like, I'm just like, oh, this will be good this week. And then I'm like, well, that worked 1 week. And then I tried again next week and it didn't work. And just learning, I think, has been, thinking it was coming easy was my mistake. And then learning has been the fun part. Mm. And the humbling part, to be honest.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Do you feel like you have learned more throughout this process in terms of growing your comedy or growing your podcasting skills, or both?
Probably both. I think I found my voice. That was a big, I mean, I don't think it's perfect. Like, in comedy, they talk about having a voice, right? So it's, you want to be different than everybody else. I don't want to go on and do the same way they do it. I don't want to come on here and talk about the things other people talk about. I want to do it my way. And I think that took a long time. It took probably over half a year just to find, like, oh, this is what makes me feel comfortable. And that has been something I think really positive to help me further just now, like on the podcast. And then even, when I'm ever allowed to get on a comedy stage, whenever people are allowed to interact again.
No, I think that's,
have you talked about what made you want to start your podcast? This is actually really interesting to me. This was something that stuck out.
Yeah.
What was
No, this actually began right when the quarantine hit my state. And okay. And as I was talking, I had had this idea in the back of my mind for a while, because I've always been fascinated by people's different experiences, even if they're things that are not like, even if they're things that aren't big and dramatic, just realizing that other people's lives are so different from mine. And so I'd had that kind of in the back of my head. And then when the quarantine hit, I was talking to so many people who were feeling extremely isolated and extremely alone, and being like, I just wish I had somebody to talk to, somebody who wanted to listen to what I had to say. And I was like, well, maybe this is a good time for me to launch this. And so I've specifically like tried to get not only, you know, we've got big dramatic stories of people who dealt with like major mental health crises, or who, we had somebody on here who won Jeopardy, but we also have people who are, you know, who are podcasting or self-publishing, or we talked to somebody about doing color guard in high school, which I just knew nothing about.
Yeah.
And so I loved, I really loved hearing the different, how different things that I knew nothing about were, and just hearing people tell their stories in their own words was fascinating to me. So that's kind of where this came from.
What state do you live in? You don't have to tell
me.
I'm in California.
Oh, no, it's all good. I'm in California. It's a big state.
So you're back in quarantine now, whatever's going on over there.
Yeah, we never really got out.
So some people did. Some people don't like the rules, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
No, it's a lot. But having to being able to have this conversation with people has been really cool. And it's fun to talk to other podcasters as well, because, you know, even though my, neither this nor my other show that I do are comedy centric, you know, we find a lot of the same things, trying to find your voice as a podcaster, trying to figure out how to get feedback from people so that you can continue on and continue improving.
Yeah,
so I love hearing how other people have addressed that for their particular shows and styles.
Yeah, I think it's funny because you won't really know if something's good until, like, I had this conversation with somebody when I was when I'd started, and I was pretty deep into it, and they were thinking about starting their own, you know, podcast show, and it wasn't comedy based, and she was like really worried about getting the right equipment and the right this or that and the software and all that. And I said, well, how about you don't invest thousands of dollars into something that you don't even know if you're good at, or even if you like right now, you're just having this idea of what it is. Because if I would have done that, I mean, I don't know where I'd be, but I only have my computer and a microphone I've bought, and that's all the stuff I've used. So I think it is just about getting out there and just trying something. And I think it's a common theme we all have when starting a podcast from the ground up. It is just something that, I think, you don't know how difficult it is when you just listen to them. You don't realize what goes into them when you're actually trying to do it. And I'm not trying to ask for, like, you know, sympathy or anything. Oh, that's so hard. But it is. It's not as easy as I thought it was. No, and maybe I'm just not very bright. But
no, I think there's an art to, especially, like, I really admire those who do solo shows, because that feels like something that would just be too, like, overwhelming to me. And there is an art to being able to sit down in front of a microphone and whether it's telling jokes or telling stories or whatever it might be, and to make that sound effortless. And
yeah, is there any bigger?
It's not.
I thought about it, because there's no bigger leap to make than to tell people, oh, hey, I have a podcast or show, whatever you want to call it. And then they're like, oh, really? What's it about? And I'm like, oh, I'm funny. You're like making this claim on your huge ego. It makes you sound like I know it. Like, I'm so self-aware of it that it's almost painful to tell people that I do a comedy podcast, because I'm just like saying, well, look, I'm funny. And then people listen like, hey, you're not that funny. I'm like, all right, fair enough. I guess I'm not.
Have you gotten negative feedback?
Yeah, I'll say some things. That's the funny part about it, I think, for me, is I'll say something and someone will listen. Someone I don't know will listen. And then they'll email me really mean things. And then I'll tell them, hey, you know, it missed. I'm sorry. Like, I don't try to apologize. I just go, like, I think to myself, like, oh, man, I really shouldn't have said that. But then I think about it, and I'm like, well, I said it, and it's out there. And it's nothing bad. It's nothing, like, really. Like, you're not talking to somebody who's out there asking for, you know, talking about anything like that. But I'm talking about just, I say something, people don't agree, and I'm like, all right, fair enough. You know, they don't have to. It's supposed to be funny, and it's not supposed to be serious. I'm sorry, I guess. Sorry they missed the joke on that one. I'm more sorry for them, because they took the time out to email me, and I don't even answer. Because I don't even know. Yeah. What am I supposed to do? Maybe next week. I'll get time. Just walk away.
Yeah. All right, so I'm curious. So for folks who might be interested in checking out your podcast, and we'll definitely make sure and give you a chance to plug it.
Sure.
If you could give me a sense, and give our listeners a sense of what style you lean into. If you could choose, like, maximum three comedians who you feel are really close to you in style, or who you draw inspiration from in your style, who would that be?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to put myself on the same platform, like in the same, like, you know, if there's rungs to this and there's first place, second place, I'm not going to put myself on these guys, but I will say those are my biggest inspirations for comedy.
Yeah.
Where like Bill Burr is one of them. He has the Monday Morning Podcast. He does that and it's hilarious to me. And like Theo Von, I think, cause he says whatever and it usually is funny, and he does solo podcasting. And then he's not in the most favorable graces right now, but Chris D'Elia was a big inspiration to me. And he actually had reached out once and shared a post of mine on Instagram. And it was, you know, that was kind of some validation when he shared my post and everything.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, look, you know, I made this guy laugh, so why can't I make, you know, normal people laugh? Because that's like the biggest compliment you can get, right? Is make comedians laugh as a comedian.
Yeah.
So I think that was a, so those three, you know, I don't really have, you know, Tom Segura, Bert Kreischer, you know, all the guys that do these, they're all very good at what they do. And I hope to one day be 20% as good as they are.
I'm curious, the guests that you talked about were more just people who reach out to you. Have you had specifically other comedians on the show?
I've tried to have some. A lot of the time you'll find that this is a very, I don't know, exposure-based like business, especially comedy and especially podcasting and stuff, and especially on the internet. So I'll reach out to comedians and nice, won't even answer, and I'm not even going for like big fish here. I'm going for, you know, even local guys, or even, you know, guys that don't have as big of followings, have close to followings I have, but they obviously get more listens and stuff. And I say, hey, we want to come on my show for half an hour or whatever and just talk, and they, you know, sometimes they're mean about it, or sometimes, you know, they don't even answer. So it is kind of nice. It is a very, I think, a medal for perseverance at the end of this, if it all works out, because of the amount of the rejection you take as a messaging people, like, hey, you want to come on my silly show? And they, you know, they come on, they usually say no. So it's, it is pretty funny. It is like trying to make friends in like a new middle school, it feels like.
Yeah, I get that. All right. So as we're going to wrap things up here, before I get to my final questions, I want to ask, is there anything that we didn't get to talk about that was on your list that you want to make sure and touch on or chat about?
No, I think this was really good. I think you asked some good questions. I got things to talk about, things I didn't even think I was going to talk about. So that was
fantastic.
Good.
All right. Then we're going to close this out the way that I do with all of them, is looking at the idea that people who are listening to this are probably going to fall into two camps. One who either have done comedy podcasting or are interested in it, and other folks who have zero interest at all, have no idea what goes into this, will never bother to find out. That's okay. But I'd love to ask, what would you want to say to somebody maybe who's thinking about starting a comedy podcast of their own, and somebody who maybe doesn't even really listen to comedy podcasts? What would be something you'd want them to understand about this journey? So those two folks.
If you're going to start your own podcast or comedy podcast or whatever, I don't think you can regret starting. I don't regret starting. I don't regret trying. Because that's like the biggest thing, right? I think it's like someone definitely said it before I did, but I never wanted to be the guy who was sitting on his couch when he's 45 or whatever. Not even saying that's old. I'm just saying like that guy. We all know that guy. And then sitting on his couch saying, oh, I could have done that, could have done this, could have done that. And I want to say, oh, should have done this, should have done that. I want to say, oh, I tried this. And even if it doesn't work out, you know, you didn't lose anything. It's not like I'm some famous guy who started a podcast that failed. I'm a nobody starting a podcast that failed, and it doesn't matter. It's not like I took a hit. You know, it's not like I'm playing with house money. If it grows, it grows. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And if you're somebody that if you want to listen to comedy podcasts, just know you'll stumble upon some that are really good, some that are really scripted out, some that use just a lot of, like, I don't use any, like, mine's really lo-fi compared to some. So just if you're interested in just listening to a guy grapple with life, that's me. So that would be my sales pitch.
Awesome. Then, yeah, let's go ahead and close things out by having you share where we can find your podcast and any other social media that's relevant.
Sure. You can find the podcast on any listening platform you choose. I believe it's on like 9 or 10 at this point. Into the Woods with Ryan Woods. It's got a cool logo that was designed for me because I can't do that. You can follow me on Facebook at Into the Woods with Ryan Woods, Twitter at Ryan underscore Woods, two S's, and Instagram with Ryan Woods, just two S's, no spaces, no nothing, Ryan Woods, two S's.
Okay.
That's all.
Awesome. Then fantastic. Then we're going to go ahead and we're going to close it out. Thank you so much for joining us today, Ryan. Perfect. This was a good chat.
Thank you for having me. This was good. I like doing this.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, folks, that's all we have for today. You can tune in again next week and hear somebody else share their experience and their story. We'll see you then.